Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the podcast. This episode is sponsored by iTalki, and iTalki is the perfect platform if you're looking for one-to-one lessons or speaking partner for regular speaking practice or for just general English lessons. It's really convenient because it's basically done through Skype. You find English teachers who are in different places and you can arrange to have lessons or conversations with them. And then you can just do it wherever you want. You could be in the kitchen, you can just sit in the living room, wherever's most convenient for you. And they have loads of teachers to choose from. And remember that because you listen to this podcast, iTalki are offering all of my listeners a free lesson. That's when you buy some talking time, they'll send you a voucher for a free lesson. To get that deal and to check out iTalki, just go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk. You're listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, folks. How are you doing? It's been a while since the last time I uploaded an episode of the podcast, but here we go. It's August. Things are quiet here. We're between holidays. We spent about a week and a half away earlier this month, and we're going away for another couple of days next week. And then things get back into full swing again in September. So we spent some time in the south of France, not far from where my wife and I got married. And while we were down there, we met up with my parents and my brother. And one evening last week, after consuming a delicious dinner with some wine, we decided to record an episode of the podcast so that you can join us at the dinner table and with some slightly silly banter and discussion with the Thompson family. Topics that you will hear include baldness, like going bald when you lose your hair. So baldness, space, climbing mountains, British comedy, fishing, earworms, tattoos, David Beckham, losing your marbles, jokes, games, citizenship tests, baby monkeys, ghosts, and some celebrity impressions. This episode is ripe with descriptive language, linking words, and specific grammatical instructions for a range of purposes, including building an argument, describing something, and just having fun and joking around. So listen carefully to follow the conversation, pick up some nice language, and just enjoy being part of the fun. Also, you can experience the pleasant voices and accents of my family. So here you are. This is an evening with the Thompsons talking rubbish and just having fun. So, hello everyone.
Hello.
Hello, Mum.
Hello, Luke.
Hello, James.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Dad.
Hello, Luke.
How are you?
We're fine.
We're absolutely fine, thank you.
Everyone's doing all right?
Yeah. Muy bueno.
Yep. Muy bueno. Bit of Spanish there from James at the beginning of the conversation. Very impressive. Can you speak Spanish?
No.
Do you know how to say I can't speak Spanish?
No. No. No, I told you I didn't.
Ouch.
No hablo español.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Well, anyway, family, welcome back onto the podcast as a whole.
Thank you, Luke.
I can't remember the last time the three of you featured in one episode.
I don't think you ever have.
Christmas.
It was Christmas.
Our house. No, not this Christmas. It was, I don't know.
Several times in the past. Mm. James, can you describe the situation, please?
Yes.
Go on then.
We're sitting around a table in France, having just eaten a meal, which I cooked, after some pressure.
Some pressure. pressure from where? Our stomachs.
Yep. Which was lemon and garlic chicken with white wine on it. In white wine.
Okay. Some of my listeners will know the recipe. It's been featured on the podcast before.
Yeah. Ratatouille type thing.
Ratatouille,
but without the aubergine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because A, we didn't have any, and B, I don't really like aubergine that much anyway, so...
If it doesn't have aubergine, is it not ratatouille?
Yes, of course it is.
It's still ratatouille.
Yeah. Ratatouille include cheese as well sometimes?
No.
No.
That's raclette.
Sounds a
well,
bit
I'm
like ratatouille.
I'm Mr. Informed today.
Okay, then. All right, then. Good, 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 good. Now, Dad, what are we going to do in this recording? Do you know?
Well, you told us that you're going to produce some kind of random words, and we have to talk for up to 2 minutes about whatever the random word is. I don't know whether it's some kind of contest or what. Is it?
There's no element of competition in this at all. Just
well, how will we know who's won?
Yeah, no contest.
I guess you know, the listeners can decide at the end who they thought won, even though there are no competitive rules in this at all. If they want there to be a winner, if they need a competition and a winner in this, they can choose who's won, and they can choose the criteria by which that decision is arrived at.
Say that again.
That was a good sentence. Okay, so what I've done is basically what I wanted to do is extract some conversation from the family, and so I've just written some prompts on bits of paper. They're not words or topics you have to talk about, or in some cases they are. They're just prompts, and so we're going to go round in circles, and you flip over a card, and then you have to talk about it. I'm going to give you what? How long? A minute? 2 minutes? What do you think?
A minute's long enough.
A minute is long enough. So you can talk for a minute on this thing.
And will you go at the end of the minute?
Yeah, I'll let you know when the time is up.
Okay.
And then afterwards, other people can just chip in with their thoughts and stuff. Okay. Remember, people are learning English with this. Okay. This is.
Yep.
Yeah, they are. And
yes.
And I get regular requests from my audience asking to hear more episodes featuring members of my family. So. There is a demand for this. I know it's hard to believe that anyone would actually want to listen to us.
It's not hard to believe they want to hear from your mum, because she speaks such lovely English.
That's true.
So there you go.
Okay. James, try to stay,
just focused.
Awake.
And focused, alert, keen.
Okay, so who's going to go first? James, you can go first. All right. Shall I shuffle these?
Just get on with it. He's got lots of pieces of paper with things written on them.
So the first thing I've got here is just the phrase going bald.
Thanks, so, Luke. That was purely a random.
No, that was at random.
No, that was my choice.
Dad put that one in, and it was at random. And so, James, you've got 1 minute to talk about going bald, and then afterwards we can kind of chip in our thoughts afterwards. Okay, so you've got 1 minute starting. Going bald, losing your hair.
James is looking like thunder at the
yes,
moment.
Yes, he's okay. Not looking happy.
You got 1 minute starting now.
I have been slowly going bald since the age of about
12.
20. Thanks.
Go on.
Solo exercise, by the way, Dad. You put the microphone down.
Yeah, you can put your microphone down, Dad.
Since the age of about 20 something. But I haven't gone completely bald. It's a miracle. But am I supposed to talk about?
Describe the.
I think everyone knows what being bald means.
Okay, but what is it? Does it feel bad? Because it happens to a lot of men.
It doesn't feel particularly good, but then again, it doesn't feel particularly bad either.
What's the best solution to going bald, do you think?
Shaving your hair off.
Shave all the hair off. So if you're losing some hair, then there can be no hair. It's that kind of logic, is it?
Yes.
Okay. All right, good. Would anyone else like to chip in? Dad, you have some experience.
I would certainly like to chip in. I mean, the Thompson family are, you know, noted for not having particularly wiry, thick hair. And it's a curse of the Thompsons that the male members of the family will tend to go bald. And I've been going bald, and James is starting to have a receding hairline. Luke is fortunately very, you know, unbald. But the point is, the point is that, you know, some people get really obsessed about it. And there's a huge industry in selling people hocus-pocus things that will stop you going bald or bring your hair back. And, you know, people spend a fortune on having hair planted back on the top of their head, such as Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a carpet on his head now. Follicles are these are the little hair things that, you know, they grow from. Moved from the back of his neck onto the top of his head, and he's now got kind of a carpet on the top of his head. The point is, does it matter? Do women, you know, shrink from people who are, you know, thin on top or not?
Good question, Mum.
Obviously not. Although when I met you, you were not bald. You had a full head of hair. Ah. So I was fooled.
Would you like a refund?
I hadn't thought about that. But no, of course not. Seriously, what difference does it make? And James is not going bald. James has got lots of
hair. He has gone bald.
No, he hasn't.
Oh, yeah. I'm joking.
He has a high forehead. But he's got lots of hair. The only trouble is he cuts it really, really short. And it's much nicer if it's a bit longer.
He's got lots of hair. The only problem is it's not on his head.
It is on his head.
Okay, James, how do you feel now, just generally, after this?
Fantastic.
Yeah, I bet you do. I'm sure you feel really great right now.
All I would say is there's a prejudice in certain sectors of society about baldness.
Which sections?
Well, you know, particularly in the US of A, they don't like bald people.
What?
They don't.
I thought it was Mexicans.
American listeners, but they do admire people with a head of hair. You know, like JFK. If JFK had been bald, would he have been president? I mean, one wonders. How important is hair?
Okay. next. Mum?
Yes.
Next. You're next. You're lucky. You got the word space. Space, which is what Dad put in because he wanted to talk about space forever. But
I don't know anything about space.
Well, you know where it is, don't you?
I know that space is a philosophical concept for an empty area of something.
We're talking about...
I know. I don't know. I don't know anything about space. I mean, there's the sun, the moon, the stars, and I can see that they're amazing and that we are a very small part of space. But it's a mystery to me. I don't understand it. And... don't know what to say. What would you say about space?
I'd say it's very big. It's like even bigger than most people think. I mean, it's, you know, so incredibly big that to put it in scale, like our Earth in the context of the whole universe is a bit like an electron in a molecule in a. It's really, really big, basically. This is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know about space. You shouldn't have given me that one.
Okay. All right. James, do you have anything to add?
It's a good album by the KLF.
Really? The KLF are a British group who produced an album called Space. What's the album like?
It's quite spacey, funnily enough.
Funny that, isn't it? What does KLF mean?
Well, I actually suggested to you that we do an episode on the KLF.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of went, hmm.
Well, it's a bit niche, isn't it?
It's very niche. No one knows what it stands for.
Could you give us a quick synopsis of the KLF? Could you sum it up in a second without Dad interrupting you?
No.
Okay.
I think we should do a whole episode on it.
All right. Well, if you would like to prepare it, that would be fantastic.
Okay, they were a sample heavy hit musical combo that had a string of hit singles in the UK before taking all the money that they made and burning it.
Wait, what? They burnt all their money?
They burnt £1 million
on television, right?
No, on video.
On video. And why did they do that?
Don't know. Don't think they quite know themselves.
Was it supposed to be a statement of some kind?
Possibly. I think they just felt compelled to do it.
Okay. Do you think it was a good way to use the money?
No. It's interesting.
Okay. Is that legal? Are you allowed to burn money?
I think
cash?
So.
If it's yours.
If it's yours, really? Yeah. What if, even if
that's not the only thing they did. They did a lot of other interesting sort of art projects and weirdness, and they made some very good music.
Did they then...
They also deleted their whole back catalogue, so you can't listen to it all on Spotify because it's been deleted.
Why?
You'd have to ask them. I really don't know, because they were... All art is transient anyway, man.
Okay. All right. I'm really looking forward to that episode on the KLF, which... See, imagine an hour's worth of that.
Why did they do it? I don't know.
What did they do? I don't know.
What does it stand for? Don't know.
No one knows.
I thought it was the lamb option at Kentucky Fried Chicken.
KLF. Yeah, I'll have the KLF, please, with fries and a Coke. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry I was so useful. Useless with that question, Luke.
That's okay. There's so much to say when it comes to space.
I know.
About, I mean, the size of it, which is interesting in the fact that it's almost impossible for us to imagine quite how big it is.
It's impossible for me to imagine.
And just so many other things about the stars and about, you know, the just the way the whole thing works. It is fascinating. Anyway, Dad, here's yours. It says, do you remember when... ... So you have to just come up with a do you remember when sort of anecdote, basically. Probably about something that happened to us in the past as a family. Any memorable moments that you can think of?
Lots of memorable moments as families. I mean, I could particularly like the one where we were in Wales, and we had a holiday in Wales, which is a beautiful part of the country. We decided to climb the local mountain. Now, it's not much of a mountain. It's a kind of, you know, small mountain compared with other countries' mountains. But it's called Carnlidy. Not a bad mountain, craggy, and we thought, can we do that? And so we thought, well, we've got to try this. And it was quite a tough climb.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we were struggling over the rocks. It was difficult, and we were fighting our way out there. I think you were probably about 9.
Okay.
And James was probably about 11. I'm not quite entirely sure. And when we got to the top of Carnlidy, there was a real... proper mountaintop, like, you know, a pointy bit.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. And we sat on that and looked around, and the view was fantastic. You could see all across the coast, the sea and everything else. And we said, yeah, we've climbed Carnlidy. And we sat there for some time just looking at the scenery, and it was lovely weather. And I remember that. That's one of the things I remember.
Do you remember when we climbed Carnlidy, Mum?
Yes, I think so. Although, was I with you?
No, it was just the three of us, really. Right. I think we left you behind.
I remember you doing
it.
I obviously don't remember doing it myself.
Okay, James, do you remember when we climbed Mount Carnlidy?
I'm going to say yes, because not remembering would be awful, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah, especially a moment like that. Okay. next one, it says British comedy. I'm going to give this one to James. Can you recommend some British comedy for my listeners? Eh? What?
Coughing baby in the background.
Is there a coughing baby in the background? Okay. Yeah, the baby coughs sometimes. It's okay. British comedy.
British
Can you
comedy.
Think of any British comedy that you can recommend?
Well, I did like watching the series... White House and Mortimer Gone Fishing.
White House and Mortimer Gone Fishing.
I think it's White House and Mortimer : Gone Fishing.
Yes.
Which is two sort of comedy stalwarts of the 90s, pretty much. Paul Whitehouse, who was in The Fast Show, and Bob Mortimer, who was in Reeves and Mortimer. And they're now getting on a bit.
Meaning?
They're getting old. They've lived quite interesting lives, but they're now slowing down. They've both had heart problems.
Okay.
And it's not exactly a comedy program, but the fact that they're two comedians means they're kind of constantly trying to make each other laugh,
mm-hmm.
which is just inherently very funny. And they just go fishing. And Bob Mortimer is a complete novice to fishing. Paul Whitehouse is quite experienced. So it's one teaching the other how to fish and the nuances of fishing. And the other one just trying to make the other one laugh, basically, most of the time. And it's sort of quite gentle television.
Mm-hmm.
It's not high-paced. It's a sort of very slow pace to the show, to the program.
Okay.
And it's just hilariously funny if you're a fan of them which I am, and if you're a fan of sort of dry British humour, you should enjoy it very much, I'd say. It might be hard to find out there in internet land, but give it a go. It comes highly recommended.
It's called White House and Mortimer Gone Fishing.
I believe so.
You're a fan of this show, aren't you, Mom?
I am. I think it's lovely.
Really?
Yes, it's very gentle and humorous, and the two of them are very likeable, and particularly poor Whitehouse. And it's just a lovely, gentle comedy.
Okay, and is it scripted? Is it kind of like a scripted
thing? Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, I think they must have gone into each episode thinking, well, we're going to maybe cover this subject and that subject. But it's quite touching because it's all about, it's not only is it about fishing and gentle ribbing of each other or teasing of each other, it's also about the fact that they're getting older, and it's about, you know,
death.
We're all going to die.
It's about them.
It is about mortality quite a lot, because they talk a lot about their heart problems and how they came close to death, both of them.
Yeah. But that's kind of life-affirming, though, isn't it?
It is. It's a kind of way of saying we're all going to die, so we should enjoy what we want to do while we can.
Enjoy.
So they're enjoying their company, and they're enjoying the fishing, they're enjoying the countryside, and the food that they eat in the evening, and all that sort of
thing. And the joy of kind of talking...
Talking rubbish
and just having fun with your friends. Yeah, okay, so...
it's lovely.
White House.
I would recommend it as well.
White House and Mortimer Gone Fishing. Mm. Dad, the next word here is simply the word earworm. Earworm.
Here we go.
Okay, so first of all, I have talked about earworms on the podcast recently, because I talked about how I had the music for Super Mario Kart running around in my head. That was my earworm for about a week. But, Dad, what's an earworm? And tell us about earworms, if you would.
It's not a very nice word, but it means that it's the music that goes round and round in your head, whether you want it there or not.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have, you know, their current earworm is a particular song or a bit of music. And some people don't have them. I think you have to have quite a musical brain to be afflicted by the earworm. And I know we all are. The Thompson clan do get afflicted by earworms. I do. And I wake up every morning with a tune going around in my head. And sometimes I know where it's come from, because I've heard it the day before or whatever. And sometimes I've got no idea where it came from.
Yeah.
It just comes completely out of the blue. So on this little holiday, we've all been, you know, singing, baby monkey, which does get into your head in an irritating way.
Wait a minute.
But no, I've had a different earworm going on this holiday, which is the first single by Tom Jones. I think it's probably 68, I'm not sure, 60s, which was, it's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
Bounce, badounce,
bounce, yeah, and that, dum, it was produced by a guy called,
Gerald?
No, he loved the bum. Boom, ba boom, which was quite unusual.
It wasn't Quincy Jones, was it?
It was quite unusual. And you used it for Sandy Shaw in Eurovision going...
Okay.
Boom. What was it? And a distant clock starts chiming nine. Boom, ba boom. It was the same thing. Anyway... I can't remember his name. Anyway, that was today's earworm.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone.
And why? I have no idea. I haven't heard It's Not Unusual for a long time.
Okay. Now, you mentioned before about how we've all had the same earworm this week. Is this baby monkey thing. Now,
it's all James's fault.
It's James's fault. James, please explain baby monkey riding on a pig.
It's a viral video of a baby monkey riding on a pig backwards. And someone out there made a song to accompany the clip.
Yeah.
And it's very high-pitched, sort of slightly crazy frog-esque. baby monkey, riding on a pig, baby monkey. And it just goes over and over, around
completely
and around again.
Nonsensical.
There is a couple of different words later on, but that's basically
it. The video is genuinely of a baby monkey who climbs on the back of a little pig and then rides around on this pig. So it is a baby monkey riding on a pig.
It's somewhere in the Far East.
And
it looks like
Thailand to me.
Okay.
But the reason we've all got it on our minds is because we have our own baby monkey.
That's right.
With us this holiday.
Yeah, that's right.
Our little baby grandchild and Luke's daughter.
Yes.
And so we think of her as a baby monkey.
So baby monkey, riding on a pig, baby monkey, backwards on a pig, baby monkey. Have you got that, James, on your phone? Have you got that? Is it on YouTube?
No, it's on YouTube. It's had 27 million views.
Can we not have a little hear of it?
You're giving this to
all. Well, you can pause it now and find it and drop it in.
Come there, earworm.
Okay, sorry about this, people. Okay,
I'm sorry, everyone, but I am now going to give you an earworm, and it is baby monkey riding on a pig, baby monkey, okay? So, you know, you might wake up tomorrow morning with this one stuck in your head, which, you know, it's not such a bad thing. It's kind of funny and cute, isn't it?
Drive you crazy.
It'll drive you mad. But, you know, if it's not that, it'll just be Tom Jones. It's not unusual. So, you know, you've got two options there for your earworm tomorrow morning. Right, so next one. Who's next? Mum?
Oh.
I have the word tattoos. That's it.
Oh, tattoos.
Tattoos. Mm. So can I add another word to that? Yeah. David Beckham. Yeah.
I know why you've said that, because I'm most upset about all the tattoos that David Beckham has. And I think he's ruined his looks. He used to be beautiful, and now he's covered in tattoos. He doesn't seem to be able to stop. He's got them up the back of his neck, all over his arms.
He's quite stupid, though, isn't he?
Well, I don't think he might sound slightly stupid.
He's very shallow and superficial.
But I don't think he is. No, I think he's obviously, to have got where he is, I don't think he can be.
No, he's just very good at football.
More than that.
Is that your David Beckham impression?
But he's absolutely ruined his looks. Why has he done that?
Not everyone agrees. You know, some people think he looks cool with the
really? Very, very trendy tattoos.
Can you describe some of the tattoos he's got?
Not really. I know he's got a thing with wings on the back of his neck. Do you know what that is?
It's a thing with wings on the back of his neck, as far as I can tell. He's also got those tattoos that go all the way down the arm. I think they're called the sleeve tattoo.
Full sleeve.
Full sleeve. It's like he's wearing a tight long sleeve T-shirt or coloured light tattoos, but it's actually tattoos.
I know, it's horrible.
Okay. Why has he done that then?
Oh, he's... God knows why he's done it, but it's disfigured him.
Okay. What would you do if James or if I came to you one day and said, hey, Mum, look, I've got a really cool tattoo on my leg.
If you had one little tattoo of a bird or a butterfly or a baby's name or your wife's name, I might, if that was the only thing, I might say, oh, yes, very, very good, but don't do it again.
Okay.
But... to have them all over you is just horrible, don't you think?
It's a question of taste.
I know people that have got them covering their entire body. They're all home drawn ones that look like doodles in the back of a school book.
Really, you know but someone? That, wait, you know someone?
You
who's,
know someone who's done that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know him very well. I know him to skate with occasionally.
But that
rarely.
Always looks to me like someone who's been in prison.
He hasn't been in prison. He just got a tattoo gun and started tattooing himself
and
other people.
God.
Really?
Like, you know, skate logos and little band logos and just doodles covering his entire body.
Does that make you unemployable, though, if you're covering...
Well, he's a woodsman now. I'm not going to tell you his name, but he's a woodsman who works in forestry.
Cuts down
so
trees.
So it doesn't matter if he's covered in tattoos.
Is he a lumberjack?
No, he's not a lumberjack. He's a forestry woodman of some
he
sort.
He manages woods.
He manages the woods, so he okay.
Yeah.
I see. Well, then tattoos all over your body. You know, the trees don't mind, do they?
No, they don't. But if you had to have some kind of conventional job, it would be Not a good idea.
Good thing he's a woodsman then, isn't it, really, I suppose? Dad, have you got anything to say on the subject?
I dislike them. I think that this trend has, you know, gone out of hand.
Yeah.
Everybody's having tattoos. And it's all very well to, you know, say, oh, I think I'll look very, you know, fashionable and have a tattoo. But you've got it for life. And you know, when you're kind of 70 years old and your tattoo has gone a bit murky, it's just a blob. And I think it's also a pity for the parents who have these beautiful little children and have these lovely little babies with their beautiful skin and everything else. And then at the age of about 15, they come home and it's been violated. Somebody's pumped ink into this, you know, little child's flesh.
And, all right, hold on.
And you know, say, no, no, please don't.
Yeah, but they're doing it of their own free will, aren't they? It's their own bodies. They can do what they want. It's just a question of taste, isn't it?
Face tattoos are quite trendy these days.
Ooh,
have you noticed?
Oh,
I've seen a few in Shoreditch with people stuff tattooed on their face.
Oh. There was someone
pretty
who,
extreme, isn't it?
Mm.
Recently, there was a news about someone who killed themselves who was covered in...
Yeah, he had a skull covering his whole face.
Yeah, but is that why he killed himself?
Well, or it makes you wonder.
Both symptoms of the same problem. Probably.
He obviously hated himself, otherwise he wouldn't have disappeared.
Don't
his
do it,
whole
kids.
Face was like a skull and a just.
Don't
horrible.
Do it, kids. Yeah, Luke, you know, do you have any tattoos?
No, I don't.
Neither do I. Don't do
how
it, kids.
How would you feel if your daughter got tattooed?
Well, I'd feel surprised because she's only about 8 months old.
In 15 years' time.
Well, I don't know. It depends. If it's a tattoo that doesn't look good, then I'd feel bad. But because I think sometimes they look all right. Honestly, I think sometimes some tattoos, if they're well done, if they're in the right place, if they suit the person, I think they can be all right.
Just one.
I don't know. I think a few can be all right.
But what do they indicate?
They indicate all sorts of things, don't they?
Well, what?
Well, they indicate that the person has decided to print this particular picture on their skin.
No, I've got a tattoo. What does it say?
It's meant to say that you're kind of an edgy, cool kind of person who's alternative and lives life on the edge and stuff like that. Although these days it's utterly mainstream to have tattoos, isn't it? So, I don't know. Okay, it's hard to say if my daughter in 15 years' time turns up and says, hey, Dad, I've got something to show you, and she shows me a tattoo. Entirely depends. I might be okay with it, but it depends if it's a good one. I've got a friend who's got some tattoos that are actually really well done, and they suit him quite well. They do look quite cool. But then I've seen some people with tattoos that look awful, and they're definitely bad. So, you know, I don't think it's just cut and dry. But I personally wouldn't have one, I think. I don't think I'd have one. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the next item. And I've just got James, I've got the word idiom or saying. So I just want you to, off the top of your head, give us an idiom or a saying that you can think of.
I've lost my marbles.
You've lost your marbles. That's a good one. Very good. What does it mean?
I only say that because someone said it at work to a French person the other day, and the French person didn't know what it meant.
Yeah.
Because it's not the kind of thing... I mean, they may have understood it, but they didn't know the meaning of it.
You work in an office, and one of the people in the office is French, and you were saying to me the other day that the other people, the English people in the office, don't know how to communicate with her.
They don't always keep it simple. Sometimes they use quite obscure idioms like that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I've lost my marbles, and she's just staring at them like, what the hell does that mean? And unless you know, someone's told you, you can't guess. I mean, you might say, I've lost my marble. What the hell does that mean?
What does it mean?
It means you've gone mad.
Yeah. I wonder where... So marbles, by the way, are the little glass balls that are used as toys. They used to be used as toys, right? Mm. Little glass balls used as toys. I've lost my marbles, though, means I've lost my mind. I've gone mad. So any idea where that phrase comes from?
No.
No idea at all. Hello, it's me just interrupting the episode in order to do a little bit of fact-checking, specifically with the phrase, to lose your marbles. So I have an explanation of the origin of this phrase here from phrases.org.uk. And it says, what's the origin of the phrase, lose your marbles? To lose one's marbles is to lose one's mind. In the 1954 film, The Caine Mutiny, Humphrey Bogart linked insanity with marbles when he showed his character, the demented Lieutenant Commander Queeg, restlessly jiggling a set of metal balls when under stress in court. So it's from this film, The Caine Mutiny. Humphrey Bogart's a Lieutenant Commander losing his mind, and this is represented by the way he's constantly holding these marbles in court. Humphrey Bogart's performance was so affecting that many have supposed the film to be the source of the phrase. It's American, but it originated actually in the late 19th century, not the 1950s. The expression has now been shortened to simply losing it. The point is that the person in question has a bit missing. Perhaps marbles meant mind or wits before lose one's marbles was coined. It basically means your marbles are your mind, so to lose your mind. And it's possibly was brought to general use through this film with Humphrey Bogart in it. There you go. Anyway, it's quite a good one. I quite like it as an idiom. You know, oh, I think he's losing his marbles, or I've lost my marbles, meaning I've gone mad. Okay.
I suppose it means that if you know, marbles are, they run around, you know, they're not controllable.
Yeah.
So they roll away, and it's kind of a bit like your mind. If your mind goes a bit haywire,
yeah,
it's like marbles running away in all directions.
Kind of a good image. You've got the marbles in a bag, and then you drop the bag, and poof, the marbles go everywhere. It's a bit like your brain, all the contents of your mind just spilling out.
That's where it's come from.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's quite a nice phrase, really. Yeah. There you go. To lose your marbles. So, Dad, the next item I've got is just, it says, guess who? So you have to just describe a famous person that we will all know, and then we have to guess who it is.
Is it guess no answers?
No, he's just going to describe the person, and we have to guess who it is. You've got a person in mind?
Yes.
Okay, can you just begin your description, and we'll see if we can guess who it is.
It might be too easy. But right. Anyway, I'll try. I'll try not to make it too easy. This person is of mature years.
Old.
And has been quite well-known around the world.
Helen Mirren.
No. And this person has been quite successful on stage and as a recording artist, both.
Paul McCartney.
This person has been in the news recently.
Aretha Franklin.
This person has been controversial occasionally. For one
Madonna.
Reason or another. Madonna! Hey. The man himself. Hey. Because she's had her 60th birthday recently.
Is that right?
Do you know she's the biggest selling artist, I think, of all time?
Is that really?
Biggest selling female artist
of all time.
How many top 10 singles in the UK has she had?
Top 5.
How many top five singles in the UK has Madonna had?
You might think ridiculous. 10, you might think 20.
It's like 40
think
or something.
Again, 40 odd, 46, I think.
46
unbelievable.
Top 46 top 5 records in the UK, Madonna. That is amazing, isn't it? Which one's your favourite, Dad?
Like a Virgin.
Sounds very
like
weird.
The very
hearing,
first time.
Hearing you sing that and look at hearing you singing that while looking at me in that way was very disturbing indeed. And I think we shall move swiftly on to the next thing. I think, Mum, it's your turn. Oh, this is perfect for you, Mum. It just says, tell us a joke.
Oh, no.
Are you good at telling jokes?
No, I'm useless at telling jokes.
Why not? What goes wrong?
Everything. I don't know how to do it.
Can you tell us, have you got any jokes in there?
Have I got any jokes?
bear in mind, we will have to explain it afterwards.
Horse walks into a bar.
Yeah.
The barman says, why the long face?
Hey. Okay. Hey. Go on, James. What's the follow-up joke to that?
How do you sell a deaf guy a frog?
How do you sell a deaf guy a frog? How do you sell a frog to a deaf person?
Do you want
to
buy a frog?
Oh, that's really awful.
Mm-hmm. Any deaf people listening,
okay,
we're very sorry.
That's
quite offensive,
one.
Sorry. That was a Lemmy joke.
Okay.
There's another one.
Yeah.
Bear goes into a bar.
Yeah.
The barman says, why the big paws?
Oh, hold on, Mum. You got it completely wrong. You ruined the joke.
I always do.
The bear joke is a bear walks into a pub and he goes up to the barman and he says, I'll have a pint of beer and a packet of crisps, please. And the barman says, all right, why the long pause?
Big paws.
Or big paws. Oh, flipping heck.
You can't tell them either.
No. All that stage time, and I still can't tell a basic joke.
I tell my talking dog joke. Bloke's walking home one night, and he sees a pub, pops in for a drink, and there's a sign saying, Rex the talking dog in the back, only a fiver to get in. So he pays his fiver, goes into the back, and there's a guy there on stage with a group of men and women sitting around watching this small stage mm-hmm. with a man and a dog.
Yeah.
And the man's saying, Rex, what's the stuff that you find around the edge of trees?
What's the stuff around
the trunk of a tree? And the dog goes, bark. Mm-hmm. And then he says, okay, so what noise do you make when someone punches you? And he goes, oof. And then he goes, how do you feel when you're feeling a bit ill? And the dog goes, rough. And the bloke goes, this is shit. And the dog turns around and goes, come on, mate, give it a chance.
Hey, okay. Yeah. Horse walks into a bar and the barman says, why the long face?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, they don't understand that.
Oh, dear.
See, this is the fun part where we explain it.
Okay, well, horses have long faces.
Yeah.
And bars are well known for places where people go who are particularly lone men.
Yes.
Who are feeling sad and fed up, and they mm-hmm. go to the bar and they sit there looking morose and unhappy.
Yeah.
And the barman will eventually come up and say, why the long face? Because when you're sad and unhappy, you apparently have a long face. I don't know why.
And the barman
will say, why the long face? And then the punter will say, oh, well, my girlfriend left me and...
And the barman stands there cleaning glasses and
listening
to the guy's problems. And it's like, why the long face?
That's what the barman does.
Right, horses also. So it's a very typical thing. Oh, you know, why the long face? Why do you look sad?
Yeah.
And but a horse walks into a bar and the barman says, why the long face? Because horses have got long faces. When you explain it, it does entirely destroy the joke.
Not funny.
Yeah.
It's got that surreal element of a bar... of a horse walking into a bar and ordering a drink in the first place.
Yes.
That gives it an extra kind of bizarre twist.
And the bear and the man, you know, the bear orders a drink and then he waits for a bit and then he says, oh, and a packet of crisps. Yeah. And the barman says, why the big paws? Yeah,
because bears have big paws.
Paws meaning the hands or feet of an animal, but paws also spelled differently means paws meaning stop for a while.
Mm.
Why the big paws? Yeah, okay.
P-A-U-S-E.
Because the bear orders his drink and then he waits and then he orders his crisps, so why the big paws?
Mm. So it's a pun.
It's a pun.
It's a pun.
It's your basic pun.
It's a pun.
There was another one as well, like, how do you sell a frog to a deaf man? Do you want to buy a frog? Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
That's pretty crude.
It is crude, isn't it?
And But the thing about the, you know, horse goes into a bar or the, you know, bear goes into a bar, the other element is it's a formula.
Yeah.
It's a well-tried, you know, joke formula. And there's lots of them, you know. A bloke goes into a bar, a bloke goes into a pub. It's the same with somebody going to the doctor. It's that very tried formula. So the idea of a horse going into the bar or a bear going to the bar, it's a nice twist on an old formula.
Right.
Thank you.
Yes, exactly. Like a man walks into a bar, ouch, because he walked into an iron...
How did that bar get there?
It was an iron bar. Mm. Okay, let's move on. Who's next? Who is next? Is it James? Okay, next, James, it says, good book. Have you read a good book recently?
The first one that comes to mind is a book by Bill Drummond.
Who's that?
Who, coincidentally, is one of the members of the KLF.
Ah, here we go again.
And the book is called 45,
mm-hmm.
which he wrote when he was 45.
Yeah.
He wrote, which was also one of the speeds of a record, a 45 single.
It goes at 45 or 33.
He also wrote one when he was 33, which I haven't read.
Ah, is it called 33?
Oh, it is.
And that's also the speed of a record.
He also plans to write one when he's 78, if he's still alive.
Really?
Which is an old speed of record.
Okay, so 45?
It's a loose collection of memories and stories and musical memoirs and anecdotes and I wish I had a copy in front of me and I could give you a bit more info. Stop nodding like that.
It's what people do when they're interviewing people on TV. Like, you know, so they nod just silently. Just, yeah, keep going, keep talking. This is really good. Well done. Keep going. Don't stop talking.
It's just a sort of collection of stop doing that.
I'm nodding again. Does he, in the book, explain why he burnt £1 million?
No.
No, so no one knows still why he did that.
No, but it's not about that. It's about little stories of their sort of slightly anarchic and slightly artistic takes on the music industry.
Okay.
And some of them are just crazy ideas. Some of them are funny. Some of them are poignant.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are just entertaining. But he's sort of a bit of a thinker, a bit of a philosopher at times, but also with a sense of humour. And he's a big fan of, you know, sort of
burning money,
looking at things beyond the sort of everyday straight world, and looking at things in a slightly deeper way, and looking beyond the obvious.
Okay,
and that's the best I can do to describe that book. I'll have to read it again. It's called 45 by Bill Drummond.
Okay, there you go. Fantastic. The next thing is actually just the word Kindle ? Because I saw James reading some stuff on an Amazon Kindle this week, which is owned by Mum. So, yep. Mum, what's your definitive take on the Amazon Kindle?
Ooh.
Is it good? Should we be using them? Is it better than reading normal books?
It's nowhere near as good as reading a normal book.
Why not?
Because of the physical sensation of having a book in your hands and being able to, you know, if you think, oh, what was it that character did, you know, two chapters ago, you flick back and you have a look and you can work your way through the book and you can mark things on the book and write things and it becomes yours and it's an object, beautiful object, and it's a practical object, whereas the Kindle is just words on a screen. And I know you can highlight the words and I know you... Well, I suppose you can skip back, but I have never really worked out how you look back over stuff that you've already read.
You have to
read.
Go into all the control menus and stuff. Whereas with a book, you just literally just turn the pages back.
The book is a wonderful object that you can manipulate and do stuff with.
But they're made of trees, though, aren't they?
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. And also, coming on holiday, I've got my Kindle and I've got, you know, I don't know, about 100 books I can read.
Mm.
Whereas if I had to bring all those books with me, it would weigh a ton. I wouldn't be able to manage it.
Do you not feel sort of spoilt for choice when you go into the Kindle? You're like, oh God, I've got 100 books. Oh, I think I'll read none of them. Like, that's what I would do.
Well, a bit, except that, I mean, I'm not a very good Kindle person because I don't actually buy books at the full price. What I do is I'm on Amazon and they send me every day three books that they've priced at 99p. So I buy things at 99p. Occasionally, you know, most days I'll say, oh, I don't want any of those, and so I won't buy them. But occasionally there's some really good books that they're selling for 99p, so I'll buy them.
Okay.
And I've got some really good books through that.
Mm-hmm.
And
so it's got its advantages and its disadvantages.
Oh, it has lots of advantages. It's just an aesthetic thing. Mm-hmm. The aesthetic experience of reading a book is nowhere near the same.
Okay, well, there you go. There you go. James, do you echo that opinion? Because you were reading the Kindle earlier on this week.
I don't think I'd get one.
Really?
To be honest. It doesn't really appeal. But it was quite nice that, I mean, the convenience, I lost my book. I left it on the train on the way here, which I was really annoyed about. So Mum said, why don't you have a look on my Kindle, James? There might be something that you like on there. And I found Steve Coogan's autobiography, which I read in about 2 days.
Okay.
Skipping through the boring bits.
How do you know they were boring if you skip through them?
Because you can just tell.
okay.
There's only so many times you can hear about picnics in a, you know, Morris Traveller. Mm. But it was... I mean, if Mum hadn't had that Kindle, there's no way she would have had all those books with her.
Yeah.
And I could choose. So it was convenient. It enabled me to read, but I wouldn't buy one, no.
The portability of books is a big advantage. Okay, can you just talk amongst yourselves? Because I need to get my computer for the next one.
Just press pause.
The next one, in fact, what did I do with it? Next one for Dad is Citizenship Test. citizenship test. I'm going to ask you one or two questions, sample questions from the British citizenship test, and let's see if you can get them right. But I need to just get my computer from over there. I'm not pausing, because if I pause, you will walk away from the table.
No, you're right.
So
okay,
hold on.
Okay. Well, I don't know, you know, what the questions will be. I've read some stuff in the newspapers about, you know, how the government requires you to know everything there is to know about the UK, and most people don't know it, so it's very probably going to be very difficult. As far as Kindles are concerned, I mean, I've got an iPad, and you can download books onto the iPad. You don't actually need a separate Kindle. And I do occasionally.
You're not talking about Kindles, you're talking about citizenship.
Yes, yeah, all right. I just thought I'd mention that, that you don't actually have to buy a Kindle. Anyway, I agree with Jill that that you want to have a real book. They smell good. And, you know, book sales are enormously
Stop talking about books now.
Okay, fine.
The citizenship test. I'm going to ask you at least three questions from the British citizenship test.
Let's
see how you get on. Question number one, Dad, is what is the capital city of Northern Ireland?
It's Belfast.
Is it A, Belfast, B, Dublin, C, Cork, or D, Edinburgh?
It's Belfast.
Is the correct answer.
Even I knew that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on to question two. What name is given to the day when people play jokes on each other until midday? Dad, is it A, Remembrance Day, B, April Fool's Day, C, Halloween, or D, Valentine's Day?
It's April Fool's Day.
April Fool's Day. Do you ever actually do April Fool's?
Absolutely.
On really? Favourite April Fool's trick?
Looking out the window in the morning and saying, oh my God, you know, there's a bear in the garden.
Oh, I bet that works every
time.
Yeah,
it really does.
Really? Mum, has he ever played an April Fool's joke on you?
Can't remember. I think he might have tried.
Really? With the bear in the garden trick?
He looked out of the, opened the bedroom curtains and said, oh my God, there's a bear in the garden. And I went, oh yeah.
Oh, of course there is. Okay. James, have you ever done an April Fool's joke or been the victim of one? Take your time.
Not that I can remember, but I'm sure I must have been. Wasn't there a famous one on the BBC where they claimed that spaghetti was grown on trees?
Yes.
And yes, it was brilliant.
It just shows how stupid British people, out of touch with the food production process they were. They believed that spaghetti trees were, you know, spaghetti was harvested from trees.
We didn't have spaghetti in those days. It was a very new thing. And
it was
lots
early.
Of people
it was
wouldn't have known.
Early
what it
60s,
was.
Maybe.
Yes, it probably was. It was a documentary from the very prestigious Panorama program with the very respectable Richard Dimbleby doing this authoritative commentary on how the spaghetti harvest in Italy had been affected by the frost with pictures.
Right. And your third question, Dad, is what are Welsh cakes made of? What are Welsh cakes made of? Welsh cakes. Is it A, suet, onions and oatmeal? Is it B, flour, dried fruits and spices? Is it C, potatoes, vegetables and Yorkshire puddings? I think potatoes are vegetables, aren't they? Or is it D, bacon, eggs, sausage, black pudding and potato bread?
Do people who actually want British citizenship have to know
answer
what Welsh cakes are
answer
made of?
Answer the question.
Apparently.
He doesn't know.
I don't know,
I know.
Maybe they're going to have to, you know, send me abroad. I don't know.
Send you
James,
abroad?
What is it?
Well, they're a bit like an Eccles cake, Dad.
Yes.
If I'm honest.
So, Mum?
So?
Yeah,
so?
It's B.
Don't you know what an Eccles cake is?
Flour, dried fruit and all that.
Flour, dried fruits and spices. That's a Welsh cake. Okay, then. Well, there you go. And, folks, if you didn't know the answer to that question, you're not allowed in Britain.
And if you didn't know and you are British, you're going to get expelled.
You're going to get thrown out.
Oh, my God.
That's right. Okay, we've got time for maybe two more of these.
There must be some harder questions than that in this citizenship.
That's ridiculous.
I've closed the hardest one. I've closed it now on my computer, so you can have a look at yourself later on. James, this one's for you. Ready? It simply says baby monkey.
We've already done that.
Yeah, okay. I thought you might just at least.
Baby monkey.
There we go.
Baby monkey. Riding on a pig. Baby monkey.
Baby monkey. Baby backwards on a pig. Baby monkey.
Okay.
Mum? Is it Mum or Dad next? Dad, it's Mum, isn't it? So, Mum, this one it was included by Dad, so it's nothing to do with me. And the question is, have you ever seen a ghost? Have you ever seen a ghost?
Of course I haven't. They don't exist.
Next
Why
question.
Why would I have seen a ghost?
I don't know. Thought it might make a good story.
No, sorry.
Have you ever seen anything you don't really understand, anything weird that you didn't know what it was? Have you ever seen anything weird, and that doesn't include Dad when he's getting changed in the morning?
Well, there's also, you know, this figure that comes out of the bedroom, you know, at about 12 o'clock.
Really?
Midday. Hulking out of the bedroom that we've experienced.
Coughing this, and spluttering.
Yeah, and for a while we think, oh my God, what's that? And then we realise, oh, it's James.
Oh.
James, have you ever seen a ghost or something weird?
Well, let me tell you, no.
No?
I once walking home late at night through the dark area between streetlights in where we used to live.
Rising Lane.
Yeah.
I was aware of a presence.
Really?
And somebody walked right past me in the dark. It was just a person. It was spooky.
The point is, you couldn't see anything because it's so dark.
I could kind of feel them brush past me.
This is in the countryside. It's not
middle
in the
of nowhere. Yeah. Middle of nowhere. Deserted country lane. And it was so dark on that road, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face at certain points. Am I right?
Wait, you couldn't see that. Wait a minute. You have to say that sentence again because no one.
It was so dark, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face at times.
Yeah.
You could see the lights that you were heading towards, you could see the lights behind you. But there was a good 600 yards where you couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
And you were just walking and just hoping that you weren't going to fall into a ditch or something.
Yeah, and?
Well, some presence.
A person
brushed past.
A person walked past you.
In the opposite direction.
And they brushed against
you
as
just
they...
Maybe just past me, just close enough to feel someone walk past.
Oh, scary.
Scary.
And I turned round.
And there was no one there.
You turned round and... Baby monkey. Baby monkey. Backwards on a pig. Baby monkey. Okay.
Wasn't a ghost. It was just probably a drunk man.
It was you. You walked past yourself, didn't you? That's how drunk you were. That's why you were, you know, you were late getting home. It was like you walked past yourself coming home from the pub. I did that walk lots of times too, and it's very, very scary experience walking when you can't see your feet touching the ground and you can't see your hand in front of your face. And there was a section of the walk where you'd walk up a hill and the trees would all cover the top as well. There'd be trees on either side of the road and the branches of the trees would come together and it would be like a black tunnel and you'd walk up there. I remember walking up and getting near the top and feeling just very spooked out and turning round to look down at the bottom of the road and seeing just a torch waving from side to side because someone was walking with a torch about 200 metres behind me, just a torch waving in the distance. And I actually ran. I ran most of the way home. But, I mean, it's probably just someone walking their dog. But it's a horrible, scary thing when it's pitch black and you're already scared and you turn back and 200 metres behind you, there's just a torch, a disembodied torch in the distance. Oh, chilling. And I just ran home.
Horrible.
Yeah. Dad, weird things, ghosts or anything like that?
Unfortunately not. I mean, I would find it very interesting to, you know, see something inexplicable.
Mm.
But I don't really think that there are ghosts, and I'm sure there aren't really. But it would be fun, wouldn't it? And I know a lot of people do believe in them. When I was a Boy Scout many years ago, we used to play tricks on the young scouts by having, you know, pretend, you know, ghost stories around the campfire, and then ghosts would appear in the light of the campfire and they'd be absolutely freaked out. And
what do you mean ghosts would appear?
Well, you know, you'd arrange for, you know, one of your colleagues to dress up in a sheet or something, and suddenly just at the right moment in the story when they're all enthralled, they would suddenly appear going woo, and so yeah, I mean, people quite like ghost stories.
I love ghost
even
stories.
Though they are frightened by them. I'm afraid I don't really believe in ghosts at all.
I love ghost stories.
Have you read Nick Frost's book?
Have I read Nick Frost's book? No, I haven't. Is there
There's
a ghost?
A good ghost story in Nick Frost's book.
Can you repeat it, perhaps? Can you remember it?
Well, it starts out, the rest of the book is just a normal sort of memoir of growing up
and becoming
and a bit
an actor.
Of him and Simon Pegg going ghost hunting, mm-hmm. which you can believe happened. And then they get to this deserted house and go in. And there's all those, remember those bells that you used to have for servants in the kitchen?
So in old big houses in England, which used to have servants living downstairs, a bit like in Downton Abbey, the people, the family living upstairs would call the servant to the room by pressing a button on the wall, which would ring a bell downstairs in the servants' quarters. Mm. And the servants would look on the wall, there would be a set of their bells on the wall, and the bells would ring and twitch on the wall, which means that someone in a bedroom upstairs is pressing one of the buttons or pulling a string.
They're messing
something.
Around with the bells, and then they go upstairs mm-hmm. into the one of the bedrooms, and it's all blackened because there's been a fire in there.
Yeah.
And as they get in, they feel this eerie sort of presence, and their skin starts pricking up.
Yeah.
And then they start to hear the bells ringing downstairs.
Or they can hear the bells in the distance downstairs all ringing.
Yeah. And they all start getting louder and louder, and then they turn around and they see silhouetted against the burnt corner of the room this figure, this of a little girl.
No.
And they just ran out of the house and ran away.
Oh, my God.
But I think he was lying.
I think that was their imagination.
I think it was, because that's the good thing about it. You're reading the book and you think this must have really happened, because the rest of the book is true. And then he starts spinning it out a bit,
meaning sort of
spinning a yarn.
Exaggerating the story.
And because the rest of the book is basically true, you start to really fall for it and you start to get really freaked out.
It's a good one, though, isn't it? Going into an abandoned old house, and in the servants' quarters, all the bells on the wall, and look at those bells. They're interesting. And then going upstairs, a blackened room because there'd been a fire. And they're in the room. Suddenly they feel weird, and then they start hearing all the bells downstairs ringing. And then they look in the corner, and there's a silhouette of a young girl in the corner.
But that doesn't ring true. It doesn't ring true. Because if the little girl was in there, how would she get all the bells to ring? She'd only be able to get the bell in that room.
She's using weird ghostly magic. Yeah, it's bollocks.
Sorry, it's rubbish.
Okay. Who's next? Dad. I think you're next. It just says the word impression. So either this means that he has to do an impression of his choice, or we give him an impression to do. Which one would you rather do, Dad?
Well, Luke's the one who's good at impressions. I mean, you're really good at impressions. I don't know whether I can do it. Okay.
Michael Caine.
Everybody does Michael Caine. And listeners will know this actor has been around a long time. But he was famous particularly for The Italian Job, a film I can recommend if you haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
The Italian Job, a heist movie.
Okay, just do the impression, please.
And, you know, they are rehearsing how to blow up the van with the money in it. And instead of the, you know, just a small explosion, it's a huge one. And he famously says, "I told you to blow the bloody doors off," or something
like
that.
You're only supposed to blow
the bloody doors off. And he's got a London accent, and he goes, my name is Michael Caine, and he's very forceful. But I can't do it as well as Luke can.
James can do it quite well. Go on, Michael Caine.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. My name is Michael Caine, and I speak in this kind of flat delivery. When it gets angry, it gets very forceful with his voice.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Then there's also the Michael Caine who speaks like this.
You're just ripping off
Coogan. We're ripping off Steve Coogan, of course, yeah. Of course we are. Okay, an impression for James. Have you got an impression that you can do? Even if it's crap, I don't care if it's crap. That's fun. That's the fun part of an impression is when it's quite bad. It's quite fun, isn't it? Can you do John Peel?
Coming up next on Luke's English Podcast, I'll be looking at some rare release 7-inches from the Disco Go-Go label on red vinyl. This is Luke's English Podcast, All Stars.
And the KLF.
And the KLF in dub. The dub sausage EP.
It's good.
That's quite a good job.
I'm off to go to Peru and have a heart attack.
It's a good John Peel, actually. Yes.
Yeah, very good.
Mum, have you got any impressions up your sleeve?
No, of course not.
Really? Nothing at all? She can't do any impressions?
No.
Okay, all right then. Well, I suppose that's it.
You can do the Queen.
OK, Can you do the Queen?
No, of course I can't.
See, the thing is, the Queen, there's...
My husband and I...
Yes.
That's all I can do.
Christmas broadcast.
My husband and I...
My husband and I...
Christmas is a time for reflection.
And family.
And for the family.
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 One of the corgis has just popped its clocks.
Christmas is a time for family.
And the
family. Family, not family.
And Christian values.
Values. Christian? No, she doesn't. Does she say Christian values?
Christian values.
No, we don't need to keep mocking the Queen.
Why?
So we'll go on from there. Well, because we don't.
She's a lovely bird.
She is.
She does a lot
great.
For the tourist industry.
I do like the Queen. I have to say, I'm not a big fan of monarchy, but I do like the Queen.
I don't like them in theory, but in practice they seem like quite nice people. Even if it was up to me, I'd string them up.
If it was up to me, I'd chop all their heads off, except the Queen. She's got a lovely head. I like the way she holds the crown on top of it.
She looks great on the pound coin.
She's done a bang-up job with them banknotes.
Yes.
Okay, I think that's probably all we have time for. I don't know who won.
It's 11:10.
It's all getting a bit silly now, so it's time we finish.
It's best when it gets silly, though, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
Sorry, listeners.
I don't know who won. Who do you think won, Dad?
Me.
I think you did.
I won.
The winners are the listeners.
That's right. That's at the end of the day, the winners are the listeners.
There's a lot of grammar to get through in that one. A
lot of grammar, yeah.
A lot of grammar, guys.
A whole lot of grammar there too.
A whole lot of grammar.
To look at... So any of you dedicated language learners out there can get stuck into the grammar. But that's it for this episode of Luke's English Podcast. Thank you, Mum, Dad and James, for taking part. And I'd just like to thank all of the listeners who are still listening and indeed still alive.
Congratulations to you.
Yes, well done.
Well done, everyone. Have a cup
very,
of tea.
Very well done.
Congratulations to all of the listeners to the podcast. For managing to not only continue to listen, but also survive until the end of the episode.
Very well.
And have a very Merry Christmas.
Oh my God, Luke, what's that behind you?
So there you go. I hope you enjoyed being with us at the table there for our after-dinner session of talking rubbish, all presented for your listening pleasure and as an opportunity for you to learn some real English as it's spoken by my family. This would make a great premium episode, I think. There's a lot of good language to be revealed and explained here. Each episode is a source of great natural language, but you might not notice, or at least might not have time to look up every single new word that you're hearing, or be able to identify all the different parts of specific expressions and their real meanings. But with LEP Premium, I do all of that for you. I'll highlight vocabulary and expressions, particularly the structures which are harder to notice but essential to know. Things like phrasal verbs, idioms, preposition, collocations, and gerunds and infinitives. There's also grammar and pronunciation as well. So each episode has a PDF and a quiz at the end so that you can test yourself and check your learning. At the moment, there are about 5 full episodes, premium ones, in various parts, a couple of videos, and part 6 is coming up very soon. You can think of these as study packs for Luke's English Podcast, where I kind of hold your hand and make sure that you can pick up this essential natural language so you can boost your English to a higher level. To register for Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium. There you can sign up. It costs about the same as buying me a beer or a coffee once a month. So one beer or one coffee once a month, which is not that much. You get to support the podcast and you also get access to the entire premium catalogue and all future content as well. So get stuck in there, teacherluke.co.uk/premium. Premium is available in the Luke's English Podcast app if you sign in to the app with your premium login details. It's also available online at teacherluke.co.uk/premium.
There's a comment section and a way to download PDFs in normal size. So just check out the website for more information. That's it for this one. I hope that you're having a great August. More episodes of the podcast are coming soon, as I have a few days ahead of me to do some work. But then things might go quiet again until September, when everything will then go back to normal and it'll be all normal again. Normal? Is it ever really normal? What does normal really mean? No, I don't really know. What's normal for you? September feels more normal than August, don't you think? I feel like August always feels like a slightly exceptional month, but then in September it's like, okay, everything's back to normal again now. You know, it's like when you start school, it's when you started university, people come back from their holidays, the weather changes, it starts to go into autumn and then into winter. So it's kind of like everything resets again. It feels like the start of something. Anyway, things will go back to normal, whatever that means, in September. But there'll be a few episodes for you to get stuck into, including probably the next normal episode of the podcast, and also some premium content coming in your direction too as well. Nice one. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being brilliant listeners. Thanks for leaving your comments on the website and generally for just being really, really cool. And good luck with your English, and I'll speak to you again on the podcast soon. But for now, goodbye. Bye, 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 bye.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.